Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We are in a series on the greatest commandment, and this morning's message is entitled Loving God with the Fruit of the Spirit. And we don't often think about the fruit of the Spirit as on-ramps to loving God. We mostly think about the fruit of the Spirit as like, you know, what you're supposed to do. But what we're going to look at today, I think, will give us some fresh insight, I'm hoping, on what the fruit of the Spirit were always intended to be pertaining to us and our life in God. You know, we're in this series on the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. And we've been even adding other things to that list that are kind of little sub-compartments of heart, soul, mind, strength. But we want to go on the journey and leave no rock unturned in trying to figure out how best to love God and have our hearts alive. I don't know about you, but this series, I have been falling more in love with the Lord. I have found my heart to becoming even more alive, just talking about it, thinking about it, and preaching it. About loving God with all. And so as we are looking for ways to do that, I want us to give some attention this morning to what is identified as the fruit of the Spirit, something we're, you know, familiar with. We all probably could quote them, and we know what they are and that they exist. But I want to look at them this morning as on-ramps to being able to do the greatest commandment even better. And we did a little subtle introduction kind of accidentally last session that we did when we were talking about loving God with our emotions, because we were talking about so much of the area of our emotions to be able to do that well required self-control, and self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So a little subtle introduction. I'm going to read to you Galatians 5, you guys know this verse. You know, it's not an unknown passage to you, and I think it's just Galatians 5:22. That's a type on my account. Many of you who know me know that my typos are flamboyant. I have many typos, and they are prevalent in all that I do. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So these are the nine fruit of the Spirit. We'll look more at them a little bit later in this session. These are the nine fruit that Paul identifies. I don't think Paul was making an exhaustive list. I don't think that that's what was happening here. Like, Paul was like, these are the nine fruit of the Spirit, says the Spirit of the Lord. I don't think that's exactly what was being communicated. I think these are nine of the fruit. I think there's more. I think that we can add some others that we see in the New Testament that are obvious, that are kindred spirit to these fruit. I'll just add in a few that I think could have made the list just as easily. Humility, generosity, mercy, understanding, tenderness, being soft-hearted. I think there's others as well. I don't know that when Paul said these are the fruit of the Spirit, I don't know that he was thinking these are the only nine and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. I think he was more trying to communicate, hey, when you love Jesus and you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you are operating according to the principles of a different kingdom. There are things that will come out of you and should come out of you that you really want to give some attention to that are part of the kingdom of God and the Spirit of the Lord. These are fruits, proof. These are the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so whether we focus just on those nine or we're looking at other attributes in the New Testament that are esteemed similarly, there is this concept of fruit of the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. First thought on that. Gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, gifts are given and received freely. Fruit are grown. Gifts given, fruit grown. And my goodness, I've found that a lot of times fruit grown equals lots of groaning. Man, there's a process of groan and groaning, man. There's just something there. The fruit of the Spirit is grown. It's cultivated in our life, or it isn't. And there's kind of the little pinch moment for us this morning. Fruit is either cultivated or it isn't. And to cultivate something takes time, investment. It's not a gimme. It's not just a for sure deal. I mean, all of you are doing a little introspection as I'm saying it. You're like, yeah, amen, brother. I know them fruit, they're hard to come by. I mean, we all, to have the fruit of the Spirit growing in us takes investment, takes cultivating, watering, intentionality. And we want them. We want them growing. We don't want them stagnant or shriveling. We want the fruit of the Spirit growing within us. And the big point today, here's what I want to, our big takeaway. The big point today is that we can feel our hearts expressing the greatest commandment when we are intentionally participating in the fruit of the Spirit. We can feel us giving Jesus a love offering. We can feel it if we choose to, because they're the fruit of His Spirit. So it's not like they're the fruit of life or the fruit of you. They're the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord. And when we do them, if we think about it, if we focus on it, we can actually experience us lifting to Jesus a greatest commandment love offering in the midst of operating in the fruit of the Spirit. That's our big takeaway this morning. That's the connection. We can feel the greatest commandment when we do the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so let's look at it a little bit. So what's the substance of the fruit? First, they're His. They're His fruit. They belong to Him. The origin is Him. It's the Holy Spirit within us. You can't express the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit of the Lord in you. You would be expressing the fruit of some other spirit, but not the Spirit of the Lord. They're His fruit. They're His. They belong to Him. They are right. They are right ways. They are the right ways to live. They're the right ways to interact. They're right. There's a lot of wrong ways. There are a lot of things that are innate to us that we're still trying to shake that are wrong ways, but these are right ways. The fruit of the Spirit are right, but they're also good. They're good for us. They're good for those that get to eat that fruit that we're hopefully having on our trees. They're good. They make us feel good. They make other people feel good. So it's not just that they're right, but there's some like feeling attached to it. They're good. The fruit of the Spirit is like, it's a good way to live. It's a good way to interact. It's a good basis for a church, for a family, for relationships, our interactions. The fruit of the Spirit are good. They express Him. The fruit of the Spirit are an expression of God because they're His fruit. So while we're getting to like do it, we're getting to participate in it, it's actually an expressing of God. We're kind of reflecting God and the qualities and the nature of God when we've expressed the fruit of the Spirit. And they give us access to this invisible kingdom around us. We know that we're living in the kingdom of God, that it's all around us, but these fruit are kind of like hidden keys or keys to hidden doors that are all around us at all times. The doors are there, it's just you can't see it. There's one in that wall right there. There's one in the podium. And I'm in the middle of a moment where I am feeling all sorts of world and problems and stress or whatever, and I pull out one of these keys and I open up a secret door to the kingdom. In any moment in your day, you have access to the kingdom of God through the fruit of the Spirit. You can change the circumstance. You can change the situation. You can shift things in a moment by turning that key, by engaging the fruit of the Spirit in the midst of a dark world, in the midst of a dark conversation, in the midst of a dark circumstance or drive to work. You can shift it. They are keys to the invisible kingdom around you. And if we believe that that kingdom's there, and at least low level, we believe it. I think everybody's like, yeah, I mean, it says it in the Bible. But if we believe that that kingdom's there, we want access points. And I'm telling you right now, you have access points to the kingdom of God in any given situation through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can engage the kingdom in that very moment. And it's of your choosing. That's pretty powerful in my mind. Because I just think about all the stuff that happens to me that I wish didn't. And sometimes you feel a little helpless and out of control. It's like, what can I do? I can open up a door. I can operate in the kingdom right now by engaging the fruit of the Holy Spirit on purpose. They're the flow of the Spirit through us. See, that's the fruit of the Spirit. So when we are operating in the Spirit, we're actually having the Holy Spirit flow through us because it is not of your nature to be good, kind, you know, gentle, self-controlled man. That is not you. You are like me. And before you gave your life to the Lord, you were a hot mess. And that's still at its core who you are without God. When we operate in the fruit of the Spirit, we get to flow in the Spirit of the Lord in that very moment. We get to feel God flowing through us, whether we choose to feel it and engage in it or not. You know, you can look at a sunset and have a moment, or you can just look at a sunset. I mean, you can operate in the fruit of the Spirit and have a moment with God, or you can just operate in the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm looking for sunsets. I'm looking for moments to go, I want to feel you right now. I want to flow in you. I want to know I'm flowing in you. I want to give you as much permission to be a current that just comes right through me, to flow in the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a way that we can do that. Get to feel God. Doesn't that just sound good? And their fellowship. So it's not just him flowing through us, but their fellowship. You guys know 2 Corinthians, it should be, not 2 Chronicles, but 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In order to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's going to require engaging. It's not a neutral experience. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is not like you're asleep and the Holy Spirit wakes you up and says, time to fellowship, wake up. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is an intentionality on our part to engage with the Spirit that's already there. I mean, he's there all the time. If he's at the door, you know, knock, knock, knocking. And all you got to do is open the door. And then there's an experience of fellowship. Well, how do we fellowship with the Holy Spirit? One such way is we eat fruit with him. We've used the fruit of the Spirit in order to fellowship with him. I'm telling you, you can shift your circumstance. You're in the middle of that moment where you are so ticked and you say, no, I am going to do patience right now. God, I'm going to feel you. I'm going to operate in patience. I'm going to choose patience. I'm going to experience that patience. I'm going to experience you empowering me to give me patience that I don't have, because I don't have it. I don't have it. But you do in ample supply. You've got abundance. So I want some of your patience. Let's just do the God patience thing right now. Let's use the fruit of patience in this moment. And you shift it. You shift the circumstance. All of a sudden now, you're fellowshipping with God in that moment in the Spirit of patience, a fruit of the Spirit of patience, and you've shifted the circumstance. And now all of a sudden, it's not a bad day anymore because you're operating in the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit don't come from you. If the fruit came from you, you could run out. But if the fruit comes from God, he did Genesis 1. He's not running out of fruit anytime soon. He's got all sorts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, patience, and control. He's got them all, and a lot of it. So he can just continue to give, give, give. It's us choosing to tap into that. And remember, if you love God, if you've given your life to the Lord, you have that Holy Spirit. And remember, it's the fruit of him. You have that Holy Spirit inside your guts. He's in here. So you don't have to go looking for him. He's not like hard to find. And it's not like, oh, maybe he's not available right now. He's in you. Are you alive? He's there. He's right there. He's easily accessible. The problem is you, not him. There is no problem with him. There's no problem with his accessibility. He gave us these fruit. He gave us himself. He wants to fellowship with us. We can start to fellowship with the Lord with the fruit of the Spirit in the most opposite scenarios, in the situations that are not patience. They are not good. They are not kind. They are not faithful. I mean, we can actually turn the tide. We can shift the situation by choosing to fellowship with the Holy Spirit through the fruit in the moment. And when we do, they are expressions of love. See, the fruit of the Spirit, when you have to reach, sometimes you accidentally do it and somebody tells you about it, like, hey, that was so kind. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, that was good. Most of the time for me, if I was kind, I had to do it on purpose. I don't accidentally, you know, it's like somebody's like, oh, I was kind. I was like, oh, boy, I know. That would cost me inside. I know what it did. And I just find that these expressions of love, when we choose to operate in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, It is a love offering on purpose in that moment. Like, you don't accidentally give away, you know, $1,000 or something. Like, especially a bunch of y'all in this room, I know it's like, man, $1,000. I haven't seen $1,000 all year. You don't accidentally give away $1,000. It takes intentionality. And when you do, if you give it, if you're like sowing $1,000 into the kingdom somewhere or into a person, or you didn't accidentally do that. You thought about it. And you're like, I am giving this $1,000. And it's a moment of offering and sacrifice. Like, it's something, same thing with the fruit. Just make it real. Just go, I don't feel like being kind to this person at all. I feel like using a hammer, maybe, but not using kindness. It's like, okay, so instead of hammer, I'm going to go with kindness. Lord, I am going to offer you this gift. It is a greatest commandment moment for me. I am going to show you love by giving this person that I don't want to give kindness to. I'm going to give them kindness. And I'm going to give you that, because it's really to you. I mean, really, whatever happens to them, I don't know. I'm not in charge of that. But I know you see me, and I'm going to be kind to this person, and I'm going to enjoy you and fellowship with you. And I want you to know, this is a sacrifice. I am lifting up an expression of my greatest commandment love for you right now in this moment when I show this person that is very undeserving of kindness instead. You see it? See, this is greatest commandment. Now all day, every day, we can do the greatest commandment through the fruit of the Spirit. Because, I mean, all day, every day, you're going to need those 9 things and 10 more. At some point, you know, in this moment, that moment, and the next one that is a response to the last one, you are going to need these moments. But now, you can actually use these as onboarding, as on-ramps to encountering the Lord, to fellowshipping, and to giving him a love offering if you do it on purpose, if you think about it. It's actually then, it just kind of, it totally turns the tables on bad circumstances. It turns the tables on mean people. It turns the tables on all this stuff when we choose, I'm going to look at these adverse conditions as opportunities to give a greatest commandment love offering by choosing to operate in the fruit of the Spirit instead of the fruit of the flesh. I love the way that Paul tied in Galatians 5, 22 through 25, this, the fruit of the Spirit. I love the way that he tied in the concept of the crucified life. So he these two things are actually working together in the same passage. He's describing the fruit of the Spirit is actually what it means to be up on that cross with Jesus. He's saying there's some things that need to die, and it's all the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit, and you're really good at those. You are like stellar, you're all pro for the non-fruit of the Spirit realities. He says the crucified life is figuring out how to operate in these fruit, in these character qualities instead of the other. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He says this is what it means to live by the Spirit, to crucify the passions and the ungodly desires, you know, resentment and hammer, to crucify those things, and instead to live according to the fruit. He says, those who belong to Christ, we crucified those things. We crucified those other carnal things. Instead, now we're living by the Spirit. You live by the Spirit by living according to the fruit. You can live by the Spirit. You could be in the same situation as the other guy or gal and be of a completely different kingdom. You could be in the same situation and operating according to a completely different rule book. Because you're living by the Spirit, living in accordance to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the opposite of the crucified passions. Think about this verse in 2 Corinthians 2. What it means to live by the Spirit. To live by the Spirit, it's the pleasing aroma of Christ to the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, 15. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Just think about how pleasing of aroma fresh fruit is. I like it. It's like, it smells really good. You cut into that orange and it's like, fills the whole kitchen, you know? Oh, man, you know, the scent of apples. I mean, this fruit is like, smells really good. When we live by the Spirit, we carry that aroma in circumstances to men and to God. When we walk according to the Spirit, we are exuding that fruit smell. We're like, we are really changing the circumstances. I remember all the verses that are about the stench of sin and of death and decay. Like, all those verses in Romans are like, who you were. You know, it's like, oh man, I don't want to smell like that anymore. Smell like the fruit of the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, when we live according to the fruit, we get to smell like them. That's just a cool idea to me. I don't know. Paul, in that verse in Galatians, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. So let's look at what that means for a minute. And then we'll take a deep dive into the fruit. To keep in step with the Spirit, it means that we're making a priority to be about the fruit, to be about God's purposes more than our own wants, pleasures, and desires. To keep in step with the Spirit, you've got an opportunity. You can either keep in step or you can do your thing. And the opportunities are constant, right? They're like never ending. You got an opportunity to either keep in step with the Spirit or to wind up off track by pursuing our wants, pleasures, and desires. We want this idea of keeping in step with the Spirit. We want that to be more important to us than what others might think about us. So many times we're just weak-willed and we do what others would want us to do, even though if it's totally not what God wants. Like, let's not be like that. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. If he's going that way, let's keep going that way and not get off course because of our own desires or our own fears of what people might think. More important than our own expectations about life. Keeping in step with the Spirit. More important than our own expectations. More important than being right. More important than our relationships. Keeping in step with the Spirit. We trust that the Lord will iron things out if we will embrace him according to his ways. We want to keep in step with the Spirit. Listen, the greatest thing that you can be given on top of the thought process of the greatest commandment is for you to understand that your job is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit in your life. Love God and go where he goes and do what he does. Be about what he's about, say what he says, avoid what he's not in. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Since we're those that live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with him. It is so important. It's so crucial. And the fruit of the Spirit help us do that. They help us to not operate in the other things. The fruit of the Spirit help us to live a life that is very much in step with his purposes. 2 Peter 1, we actually read part of this verse in our ministry time today. But 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9 says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And then he starts listing off these other, some of them are straight up quotes of the fruit of the Spirit. Others are other New Testament characteristics that, again, I would argue could be called more fruit of the Holy Spirit. But he says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. He says, if you possess these qualities, he calls them in this scenario, this is Peter, he calls these character qualities. He says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, then they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Jesus. I don't know about you, I really don't like those words. Ineffective and unproductive. Like, you don't want that on your tombstone, okay? Like, that's bad. All right, let's all agree. We don't want that on our tombstone. Let us not live a life that would merit it being put on there, okay? And Peter here, he's going, listen, I want to help you have that Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. I want you to tap into him so that you would not live a life like you didn't have him. That you would not live in such a manner that it was like there was no Holy Spirit inside of you at all. Like you hadn't been saved. Like you had not given your life to Christ. Like you were not going to live forever in eternity. I'm trying to help you here. Let me tell you the path. Here's the way. Add to the fruit of the Spirit, the character qualities, more and more and more, and also in increasing measure. And if you'll make your life about increasing in the fruit of the Spirit and adding to them in your life, then you will not graduate having been unproductive or ineffective. You will be very productive. You will be very effective. It will really matter. You want to possess these in increasing measure. I love that the Lord, the way that he runs the kingdom, it's so different than how we run the kingdom of America as, you know, in America as capitalists. Like, he just runs it so differently. He runs his kingdom according to small things in our heart. He is all about the smallest of things. It's the wisdom of the Lord to look deep into the heart of man and watch our responses. It's the Lord's desire. It's only him that would put the emphasis on the little things. We put all the emphasis on the big things. The biggest this, the coolest that, the longest running this. Like that's, we talk about those things all the time. And the Lord's like, no, I want to look for the smallest, the mustard seed, the little things, the little movements of your heart. I care about forgiveness. You care about epic, big mansion. He's like, I really care about forgiveness. Who's good at that? Who's good at the little things, the little seeds of the kingdom? Because those seeds grow up to productive and effective. Those seeds mature into something that actually matters. We can express these in any passing moment. This is so stinking cool. Peter said, I'm trying to keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Paul said, this is the way to live in step with the Holy Spirit. And we've got the opportunity to do that moment to moment in our days. Moments come up to us. Situations come and they want to be a hurdle in our life. They want to be a hurdle. We'll just stick with hurdle because I already said hurdle. Okay, be a hurdle in our life. And we've got the opportunity to jump that hurdle or just look at it and go, oh, it's too tall, 16 inches, can't make it. It's like, let's use the fruit of the Spirit. Let's engage moment to moment. Let's engage the Holy Spirit and choose to express these in those passing moments. Just start thinking about all those moments, all the moments of frustration, all the blockades. That's the word I was looking for instead of hurdle. Blockade. I found it. Blockade. Blockade. That's such a dumb word. Who says that? The Lord wants to empower us to help us in these moments to overcome those hurdle aids, you know, so that we can actually move forward. What are you going to do? It's one of those mornings. All right. Let's talk about walking in the greatest commandment related to the fruit of the Spirit. If you're taking notes, this might be a good time to do it. Let's look at these fruit of the Spirit. We're going to actually put them up one at a time up on the screen. Let's put up love. And I just wrote out a little definition as best as I can related to how do we walk in the fruit of the Spirit related to the greatest commandment. Love, it's fitting, in my opinion, that the first fruit on the list is love. This would be expressions of genuine affection. I'm trying to give you tactile ways that you can operate this week. What can you do this week to grow in the greatest commandment related to the fruit of the Spirit? It's expressions of genuine affection, showing a willingness to share ourselves emotionally, and finding ways to impart our care and concern for others. Love, in all those different moments, you're looking at the moment and the moment is saying, no, hate. And you go, nope, I'm not doing hate. I'm going to figure out a way to share myself emotionally instead. I am not going to give in to this resentment. Instead, I'm going to find a way to impart to this person care and concern. Love. Joy. Fruit of joy is about being rooted in the reality of who we are in our eternal destiny. Your joy doesn't come from your natural circumstances. Your joy comes from God's goodness. It comes from our salvation as opposed to being focused on what our current circumstances might be. You're in a moment, you're like, this moment's bad. It's like, yep, this moment's bad. But why are you living for this moment anyway? I mean, don't we have a whole Bible that says don't do that? Oh, my moment. Well, quit thinking about your moment. Think about your eternity. You're not going to live here forever anyway. Not like this. Why are you so concerned about your moment? It's bad. You've got access to the joy of the Holy Spirit right now in bad moment. Right now. The bad moment that's so bad, you can experience joy instead. You can. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and I guarantee you, he is not having a bad day. You can experience the joy of the Lord in this moment. It's rooting yourself and thinking about yourself, not in terms of the way people see you or your circumstances suggest, but in terms of the fact that you're going to live forever, you're saved by God, you're his, in eternal realities, not in temporal ones. Your temporal circumstances could be good today or bad today, but your eternal ones will always be good. Root yourself where you will be forever. You're barely going to remember, I don't know that it exactly works this way, but time frame wise, in a million years, you'll have lived a million years in the reality of heaven and eternity, and only 80, 90, or whatever you get down here in this age. Like by comparison, why in the world are we thinking about ourselves primarily for the 80 years? Like, why are we thinking about ourselves in perspective of that 80 years instead of the billions? But when you put yourself in the perspective of the billions, because you're eternal and you're going to live forever, when you put your perspective there, your days are epic, man. Like, get over your bad Tuesday. Like, this, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to live forever with Jesus. That's right. That's something to be joyful about. Peace. Flowing in the fruit of peace is carrying an inner confidence in God despite what things look like externally. It's staying unshakable and clear-minded with trust in God's goodness and God's plan, God's nearness, God's reality, God's purpose. When we talk about the fruit of peace, once again, it's not related to your circumstances. It's related to your God stance. It's God in your life, how he sees things, his perspective, his purposes, his plans, and the fact that he's still on that throne. You can have peace. It doesn't come from you. The fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of you trying to be really spiritual. It's tapping into something that isn't you at all. It's God. You didn't get saved because you were smart. You got saved because you gave your life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit came to live in you. Don't leave him in there dormant and ineffectual. Let's tap into the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is peace when circumstances are totally unpeace. The opposite of peace. You can have this peace of God. Patience. When we operate in the fruit of patience, we remain calm with the ones that have irritated us. We bear with the failings of those around us, and we wait on God in an undisturbed manner related to our unfavorable circumstances. Patience. We look at God and we go, really ticked right now. Really ready to move on from here. Really wish this person would subtly poof, disappear. Help me. I'm the problem. I'm a sinner. I just wished them away in a poof. What kind of horrible human being am I? I totally get the sons of thunder. Let's call down fire right now. There's something terribly wrong, and it's me. God, give me patience that doesn't come from me. Help me to operate in a calm with the ones that are irritating me. Help me to bear with the failings of the weak around me. Help me, just like I'm hoping they're bearing with the failings of the weak around them. Me. Let's touch that patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's choice. It's fellowship. Any moment you can go to God and unlock the kingdom around you and start to fellowship with the Lord in the midst with a power that is not of your own. It's not of you. It's the fruit of his Spirit. It's not from you. It's his. Kindness. The fruit of kindness boils down to being friendly and looking to the good of others, where we go out of our way for them. Much kindness transpires in brief interactions with people. Kindness is less about how much time is given and more about giving people generous portions of our emotions and strength, with the focus of the interaction being on them and not on us. The reason we don't want to be kind is because we're thinking about us. We're not thinking about them. Like, what day do you not want to be treated kindly by people? Like, how many days have you woke up and been like, today, I just want people to punch me in the face. That's all I need all day. That'll do me just right. Just a bunch of punches. The more, the merrier. I want 17 punches by the end of the day. I just have never woken up like that. It's never happened. I wake up and like, I want people to give me pancakes and ponies. I want to be blessed. I want people to be nice to me. That's how we all wake up. When we don't want to be kind, when we're experiencing that unkind within us, it's because we're entirely thinking about us and not about them. But what if in the moment we go, I'm going to give you a big old first greatest commandment offering right now, Jesus, and I'm going to choose to be kind to this person that I want to end. I want to end. Nope, won't go there. Lord, kindness, I'm going to do kindness. And we choose to think about them. And we choose to give them what it is that we know that the Lord wants to give them, the way that the Lord feels about them. And we tap in again to a fruit of the Spirit that we don't have. It's not innate to us. It's something of God. That's why this whole thing is so supernatural. The fruit of the Spirit, it's not because you're so cool, but you do have access to some tools. You've got access to the movement of the Holy Spirit in a variety of ways that you can tap into. And like the power of God related to the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit come from the Spirit. You can't just do the gifts because you're cool. You do the gifts through the power of the Spirit. You do the fruit through the power of the Spirit. But these fruit are grown. They are grown. They're cultivated. It starts off, all of us have the fruit of the Spirit in us in seed form. You just got to water. You got to water, make sure the dirt's right. You keep going back to that thing, give it some sunlight. And then don't forget any crop. It could have been great last season, but if you don't water it this season, the shriveled up little vine, that apple ain't looking so good this year. Aren't you supposed to be the apple guy? Oh, that was last year when I was watering the apple trees. This year I gave up on apples. Let's like continue to water the fruit. Let's cultivate them. Let's cultivate these fruit. Goodness. As a believer, we need to be committed to the fruit of goodness. What does that mean? Living holy lives, pursuing righteousness, even at great personal cost. It's an offering to Jesus. It's the whole session we did on obedience. It's the whole love the Lord our God with all of our obedience. It's living a good life on purpose, living according to his purposes, choosing what is right, whether or not that choice makes us feel good or bad or restricted or free. It's right for right's sake. Let's do what's right because it's right, not because it makes me feel good. The fruit of the Spirit, but there are many times where we face those moments like, I don't have it in me to do what's right. I got a whole lot of wrong going on right now, and it's about to come out. We go, oh, God, help me. I am Mr. Wrong. Help me, help me, help me, Lord. Give me grace that I would choose what is right, good, and true instead of flowing in the fruit of my flesh, which says do the opposite. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is a super, I just want to say it's underrated. It is such a super important part of the kingdom of God. It is so important, and I think it's underrated in a big way. It's an important expression of the Spirit of God flowing through us. This looks like staying steady through difficulty and continuing to do what was given to us through the mundane for long periods of time while under great pressure, that we don't give up. Faithfulness, it's one of the most important underrated priorities of the kingdom of God. It's godly character to be faithful in what we do. And God promises to reward it in a big way. But I don't know that we have faithfulness innate to us. Like the others, we need help. Our circumstances say, bail out now. Quit. Stop. Don't do that anymore. And we go, oh God, help me to unlock that key to the kingdom of faithfulness. Help me to stay steady and not quit because my flesh wants to quit. Help me to do the right thing and keep doing the right thing, whether it feels good or it feels mundane or it feels old or it feels challenging. Help me not to quit. Faithfulness is all about not quitting. Don't quit. And you'll have plenty of reasons to want to quit, which is why it's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You've got access to don't quit by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to flow in faithfulness in my assignment, in my relationships, in my marriage. Help me to stay faithful. Help me. Gentleness. fruit of gentleness is about being tender in our interactions with one another. And more often than not, at moments that we are least likely to want to do so. Gentleness comes when we least want it to. I mean, the requirement for gentleness, the opportunity to operate in the spirit of gentleness, the fruit of the spirit of gentleness, happens when we are least likely to want to do that. It's where we are careful to show empathy for one another's feelings and compassion for each other's circumstances when we don't feel like it. You know, again, the fruit of the spirit, you might accidentally do some this week, but more than likely, it's going to come through intentionality. And it's these moments where you're like, oh, I don't feel like being gentle. Give me the hammer. It's like, no, to choose gentleness and to choose, go, Holy Spirit, give me power that I could do these things. Do you know how much the Lord loves those moments in your life? When you are feeling totally ungentle and you press through and give the Lord even a weak, gentle offering. Because remember, you were planning on hammer. So a weak, gentle offering is like an epic win. Do you know how pleased the Lord, do you know the pleasing aroma of Christ you are in that moment? Because you're expressing the fruit and the fragrance of the fruit of the Spirit in a moment when you were totally in tendency to give the stench of death. You were on purpose going to do the wrong thing, and now you intentionally choose the fruit of the Spirit. That's beautiful. See, this is love to Jesus. This is a way all day we can do the greatest commandment. We've got total, we've got more opportunities we know what to do with if we just engage our hearts the right way. And I promise you, he sees it this way. He receives it as love when you choose gentleness instead. He receives it. Self-control. We have both access and the responsibility for the fruit of self-control. This crucial part of Christianity barrels down to us not doing things that we really want to do. And doing things we really don't want to do because of what God identifies as right, good, beneficial. It's taking our thoughts captive and then aligning our actions to what's better, not what's comfortable. I struggle with self-control. There's moments that I'm like, I want to eat that. Oh, I ate that. I wasn't supposed to eat that. I struggle with self-control, but I've found that by engaging the Lord in those moments when I'll choose to, and just because we know the right that we ought to do doesn't mean we're all going to walk out of here and do it perfectly, but I found that when I'll engage the Lord and go, oh, help me, give me self-control from you that I don't have right now, there's power available for us to be able to express that and to give that to the Lord. Why this morning? Why this session? I want us to be able to express the greatest commandment all day long. And I think these fruit, by having them in front of us, and we're already familiar with them. Again, most of you could quote them, okay? By having them right in front of us related to the greatest commandment all day, at least for today, maybe we'll live a godly life at least Sunday the 29th or 28th, whatever today is. At least today, maybe we'll live godly because we've got the fruit of the Spirit in front of us and we're looking for opportunities to go, I can choose to fellowship with the Lord in that fruit right now instead of responding in the way that I want to. And by doing so, I'll give Jesus an offering and I'll express my love to him. We recognize what we lack. We make the conscious choice, God, help me. And we pray and we say, God, help me. The way that we get the fruit of the Spirit cultivated in our life is by practicing and by praying. That's how we grow those fruit. That's the water and the sunlight for the fruit of the Spirit. It's practicing and praying. You try it. You don't do it so awesome. You ask the Lord for help to do it better next time. You do it next time. There it is. Practice and prayer. Both again. The Lord wants to help us in this. And these are moments for encounter. These are on-ramps to God.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.